When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Good morning. Off we go into the landscape of sports. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. It's time. The Rob Brown Show underway, Tuesday edition gets going right now. Howdy, y'all. Welcome in. Happy to be with you. Happy Tuesday. At least as happy as you can possibly stand it to be today. I am Rob Brown. The pleasure is mine, sharing in that pleasure as we do every morning. Yeah, no, it sounds weird. I don't care. It checks out. Directly across from me, he's the Alpha and the Omega of the Fan Upstate, the Sultan of Swag, the Professor of Perfection, the Wizard of Wave, the Great One himself. Lonzo is here as well. And based on the fact that he has not brought in, like, confetti cannons and a trumpet and other assorted party favors. Still powerless, great one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Rough night.
Sweaty last night.
Yeah.
Real sweaty last night.
No, it takes care of that, though. Nice cold shower.
Yep. You're going to be a new man. You're going to have a six-pack by the end of this week. Because what I've been told is if you want to be, like, you know, vivacious and in shape and all that, you gotta take ice-cold showers. It's I've been told that it's the best way to jolt yourself awake early in the morning.
You know what it's like? You know when you get ready to jump in the pool? And you know the pool is going to be really cold, but you figure you get used to it after a while. It's like that, but you don't get used to it. So I'm, you know, in the back of the shower trying to, you know, as far away as someone of my size can be from the water going, okay, I got this. Oh, why did I do that?
So last New Year's Eve, not this year's, but last year's New Year's Eve, we went over to Charleston and we spent New Year's Eve and day with the wife's sister and brother-in-law. And they are... So they're what the kids call crunchy. Have you heard this term before?
I have not heard of crunchy before now.
All right. Crunchy is the modern day term for people who live that granola lifestyle.
Ah.
You know what I mean,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, okay.
Right?
All right. I was just watching a Bryan Danielson thing. So,
crunchy.
All right.
You know, we don't allow our children to eat off of plastic plates. You never know what's in there. It's like, yeah, it's plastic plate, relax. Crunchy. So they're crunchy. And I say this with all the love in the world, because the brother-in-law, I've told the wife many times, hey, I just married you to have an excuse to hang out with Nick more often. Great guy. So they're crunchy. They're very healthy, health conscious, right? Like everything that they do say, eat, think, it all revolves around family health, which is fine. Now, this is not me judging. We should all be more like that. I just... don't want to be. It's exhausting.
Takes a lot of effort.
I feel like every health gain I gain by being crunchy, I give back because I'm just stressed all the time. So we went over there and they wanted to do for our New Year's Day morning activity. Now, if there's one thing you need to know about Rob Brown, it's that Rob Brown adores New Year's Eve. Rob Brown on New Year's Eve. I know some of you go, oh, that's amateur drinking night. Nope. The professionals are out. All right. I love New Year's Eve. It's my favorite night.
What's an amateur drinker?
The amateur drinkers are the people who come out on like New Year's Eve and Halloween and whatever. Right, and they get plastered and make asses out of themselves. While the rest of us that drink all the time are like, hey, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. All right. It's a lot of practice. So they decided after New Year's Eve, and that was the year that Ohio State, with the worst field goal in history, lost to Georgia and shouldn't have, right? That was that year. So we went out the night before to downtown Charleston and tied one on, and they wanted to, for New Year's Day morning, the celebration was to get up, go to the Atlantic Ocean at 7:30 in the morning, in the middle of New Year's Day morning, and do a polar plunge into the Atlantic Ocean. There were, and I am not exaggerating, thousands of people that lined the beach on Folly Beach, South Carolina. And when the horn blew at 8 a.m., we all just sprinted into the ocean. I'm like, you know what? That was my thought. But I said, you know what? It's new family. I knew I was very close to proposing. I'm like, you gotta get the kudos. You gotta get the brownie points. What I need is to have the sister and the brother-in-law telling her, if he proposes and you say no, you're out of the family, and he's in. He's taking your spot, right? Needed the suck-up point. So I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm going to run into the damn Atlantic Ocean
so
at 8 a.m.
You didn't even think for a moment, hey, I'll just be the guy who's filming it. It just jumped out. It's like, let me get these angles right, this kind of stuff.
You know, Zoe, you know that Rob Brown is a dude who, if he's got a chance to do a thing, he's doing the thing. All right, I'm just I like memories, not photos.
Right. Well, you could have taken some video for other people for their memories.
I was doing the thing. I'm not gonna miss the chance to do a thing. And you don't know, like maybe it's one of those things where you're like, this is new. I've never done anything like this before. Let's do it. Maybe I'm gonna love it. Nope, hated it every second of it.
Dude,
every second of it.
There are some things you look at and go, no, I am not going to love that.
You never know. There's a lot of stuff I've felt that way, and then I did it, and I'm like, that was kind of awesome. I'm going to do this again, right? This was not one of them.
Would you wrestle a bear?
No,
you've never done it, but I'm sure it's fun.
I've gone skydiving, which is something that I'd say, oh, I'll never do. And then I did it, and it was the most amazing thing I've ever done. And I would absolutely do it again. I thought, I'm not dying from jumping in cold water. All right, you know that. You're doing it every day this week.
I feel like I'm dying every single time I do it.
So we ran out into the ocean, and it was this weird thing because we were out there. We hung out for a minute. We got out, got all toweled off and everything. And there was about a 10-minute period where I was like, I got to tell you. Like I kind of feel like renewed. Like I really feel good. Like this is a real good reset button opportunity. I'm gonna change my life. I'm gonna get inspired. I'm gonna change the way I'm living. I'm gonna be a healthy person now. That lasted about 7 minutes, and then I was like, oh, it's 8:40 and there's mimosas for breakfast. I'm just gonna bang down 3 or 4 bottles of champagne and go home and take a nap.
You're gonna warm yourself from the inside.
Yep.
You guys weren't naked, were you?
No, there was 10,000 people on the beach.
There could be 10,000 naked people on the beach. There absolutely could be.
No, I don't know why you think that doing something outlandish means that there must be like complete weirdo. Like you can't just go, maybe it'd be nice to jump in some cold water and reset the body for a minute. No. All you weirdos going full nudity on Orgy Beach, South Carolina.
Wait,
it was none of that. It was none of that.
So you know that there's is there a beach called Orgy Beach?
I mean, I'm sure there is somewhere. Not around here. Guarantee you that wouldn't fly around here. We went out. We were all in costumes and everything. It was very cool. It was a lot of fun.
What kind of costumes?
I was Adam Page that day. Full Millennial Cowboy.
And
it was great.
And no one knew who you were except for you.
Like 6 people.
Okay.
The point was we had a ball. It was a great time. And again, the you cold water people, I don't understand you. And I don't think I ever will. And that's okay. Live your life. Do what's best for you. Do what works for you.
By the way, there are many nude beaches in South and North Carolina.
I mean, do your thing.
Including Whispering Pines Nudist Resort.
For the record, I'm not against it. If that's why you want to live your life, live your life. I ain't got that confidence in me, all right?
Wait. There's one in Chesney. It's the Carolina Foothills Resort.
They
open at 10 a.m.
I would
just in case you wanted to know.
Lying to tell you I'm not a little curious. Now, here's what I'll say. I've been to a nude beach before. I didn't get nude. I don't have the, if you'll pardon the expression, I don't have the to get nude in front of a bunch of people.
Okay,
all
but
right?
So why would you go to a nude beach if you're not going to be nude? Isn't that kind of weird?
No, it was, well, okay, in fairness, this wasn't a This wasn't a nude beach that it's like you go to the beach and you must get
okay,
nude.
It was just a beach. Optional.
But right, but if you wanted to get naked, you could get naked. And all I'm going to say is one of the most old school comedian tropes of all time. Nobody who gets nude at the nude beach is a person you want to see nude.
Yeah.
All right?
Okay.
Listen, if you're going
to
tell me...
You know this by looking at everyone at the nude beach to see if there is anyone that you should be looking at the
nude... Dude, everybody's naked. What do you think? The sky's real pretty today. Yes, people are naked. You're going to look around. Now, I will say this. I was like 27, 26 when this happened.
That was a long time ago.
And yes, it was. And what I can say is, and I think this is kind of the point, there's no... like overwhelm there's no sexuality at all to it, right? Because if you go there and you're sexualizing it, you get outed as a creep real quick and your ass will get run off the beach. There's no inherent sexuality to it, right? Like I am one of these weird people that I'm like, nudity doesn't immediately make me go, ooh, sexy time. Like, nah, you're just naked. That's how we come into the world. It's how we'll go out of it. All right, you're in the buff. What do you want? It is what it is. But I will also say, you know, if the nude beach was full of Scarlett Johansson's and Bradley Cooper's, yeah, it'd probably be a different story. You'd probably be like, all right, I probably need to leave. I probably need to get up out of here. Most of them ain't that way. The people at the nudie beach ain't the people you want to see in the nudie. That's not how it goes. So How do we end up here? Anyway, point was, cold water people, you're weird. I don't get you. All right? Live your best life. I'm here for you. I don't. There is only one group of people whom I judge their lifestyle and think they should stop. Who is it, Lonzo? The one group of people that I am anti. Furries. You're weird. Stop. Stop being furries. Don't be furries.
Let them live, man. Let them live.
I am 100% let them live for every lifestyle, choice, decision. I don't care. I am the most I'm out of your life person you're ever going to meet. Live and let live person you're ever going to meet. Except furries, they're weird and you should all be forced to stop.
Way to find the exact opposite of nude. I mean, good job. The opposite of nude is furries.
Yes. Yes, I would rather hang out with a bunch of fat, floppy people at a nude beach than hang out with a bunch of furries. Just so we're very clear.
Well, the floppy part's throwing me a little.
I meant that every sense of the word.
Okay.
Then hang out with furries. All right. I'm sorry. And again, I'm not. If you are a furry and also listening to this show, which you're not, please know you're a good person. I don't have any issue with you personally. You're a good person. All right.
If a furry goes to a nude beach, do they just take the clothes off their furry parts?
Not only have I never thought, I don't think anyone has ever thought about that until right now. All right, we got a show lined up.
I ain't had no sleep, people.
That's also fair. I have been sweaty the last couple of nights. Last night was actually pretty comfortable outside. We opened the windows up last night. It was actually pretty nice in my house last night.
Yeah, if I open the window, something's coming in there.
That's true. I have creature comforts. Alonso has creatures. It's a difference. All right, we got a show lined up for you today. A lot we got to get into. We'll get into some college football today as the AP Top 25 poll dropped on Sunday. The University of Alabama makes their return to numero uno in the AP Top 25 poll. What does that, if anything, mean for the long haul? What's it mean for Georgia, Texas, Ohio State, and all the other teams that are stacked up behind them?
It means a chance for Rob to brag is what it means.
I mean, I got plenty of them, but yes,
about Alabama.
That is one more.
I just because I remember I said they were done, and you were like, "No, they're not," and you were right at the moment.
See this noggin up here?
Probably the only way you're actually hearing the show. So yeah,
that's where I keep my ball knowing, right there, right in the noggin.
Was that the right side of your brain?
In the right side, the logic side, left is creative.
The fact that you're asking that. Anyway.
I don't know. I also apparently didn't know the difference between a fruit and a vegetable until yesterday, but we're here to learn things on the Rob Brown Show. We're a sports talk show, but we're ever so much more than just a sports talk show. All right, so we're going to talk some college football later on today, including a little bit more nuanced breakdown of Clemson versus Stanford from the weekend. The W that was picked up by Dabo Swinney's Tigers. And obviously we start turning our attention towards what is a big time contest coming up in Columbia this weekend, as the Ole Miss Running Rebels are going to be looking to get right after they got upset by the Kentucky Wildcats, a team that South Carolina went up to Lexington, Kentucky, and slapped around a little bit earlier in the year. They turned around and they got the better of Lane Kiffin's Running Rebels. Now the Rebels are going to be looking to get it tight, get it right when they take on the Gamecocks in Columbia. The Gamecocks obviously coming off of a week off after their win over Akron last Saturday. So will the renewed health and vigor of the Gamecocks give them an opportunity to knock off Ole Miss, or will the Rebels be able to rebound? We're going to talk about that game. And start turning our attention to what are we on, week six now? Week five, week six, whatever week we're on. Week six, right? Week five, yeah, week five in the NFL, week six in college football. Talk about that. Matt Stafford made history last night. Nope, Jared Goff did too. I mean, I'm sure Matt Stafford did something historic last night, but Jared Goff made history last night for the Detroit Lions. We're going to talk about that. Two bits of history for the Lions. By the way, really like the all black. Wish it was trimmed in silver. Don't love the blue helmets. I think all black with the silver is a great look. I don't like the blue helmets for Detroit.
All right, so unfortunately, I was watching this game on my iPad last night and I fell asleep for brief moments. But when I first turned it on, I'm like, who is that? Talking about Detroit.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, because I was watching the Miami game and I switched over because this game was supposed to be a better game. And it was. And it's like, okay, is that Seattle? Because that's kind of, no, that's not Seattle. Okay.
Yeah, I like the all black. I'm a big fan of the all black unis. Not the helmets, didn't love helmets.
The blue is very close to the Seattle blue in those helmets. At first glance.
I mean, I think Seattle's is like a little darker.
It's dull.
And for the record, I'm a big cobalt. Yeah, I would like those helmets more, I think, if it was blue unis with black numbers.
Or just some stripes on the pants probably would
help. Yeah, just something. It was like, I was like real close to being real good, but just not quite
there. The pants look like leotards.
You know what was there? Jared Goff, 18 of 18 for 2 touchdowns, no picks last night, sets the NFL record for most passes without an incompletion, shattered the previous record set back in 2005 by Kurt Warner when he was playing for the Arizona Cardinals. He did it against the Houston Texans in 05 last night. Jared Goff does it for the Detroit Lions against the Seattle Seahawks. 42-29 winners. We're going to talk about that.
I thought he was done. You know, I thought Jared Goff was not good.
Rob Brown didn't say that.
I was echoing the sports narrative that was said about him.
Oh, was that in one of the emails that we get every morning about the things we're supposed to say?
No, this was a few years ago before the trade. You know, he was done. He couldn't be. Yeah, and he looks pretty good.
I just learned that, my favorite quarterback in the NFL is CJ Beathard.
It's Beathard.
Apparently, and I don't know I got to find out if he was related or not. This is obviously my work to be done during the break. But apparently in 1966, there was a guy named Pete Beathard.
I thought you were going to talk about Bobby Beathard, but
no, Pete Beathard, which means that he was Peter Beathard. Or on the roster, Beathard Peter. We should probably go to break now. I felt like that was information you all needed to know. And I feel like you're all better people for knowing that there was a Peter Beathard. Beathard Peter, quarterback, Detroit Lions. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio, whether you like it or not, on the Fan Upstate.
Thank you.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
We would be incorrect if we did not obviously start with the passing of a pair of sports icons yesterday. We begin with a baseball legend, Pete Rose, MLB's all-time hit king. I don't care if you banished him from ball. He will forever be the MLB hit king. Pete Rose did things at the dish that other people wish that they could do, including when he knocked off Ty Cobb to set the record for all-time hits in a single season. Rob Brown said before he switched his computer back to the output. Man, that was going to be such a nice and dramatic way to play that.
It was a good transition. It really was.
Such as when Pete Rose passed Ty Cobb to set the Major League Baseball record for most career hits. So there you have it. Pete Rose setting the career record for MLB hits. He would end his career with 4,256 career hits, a record that stands to today, and doesn't just stand to today, but a record that stands to today. And number two is still Ty Cobb. No one has even threatened Pete Rose at this point. No one else has been able to get past number two. Pete Rose also holds the record for most career singles at 3,215. He holds the MLB record for most career games played at 3,562. He holds the MLB record for most career at-bats with 14,053. And he holds the MLB career plate appearances record with 15,890. Rose ended his career making the All-Star game 17 times, won the World Series three times, twice with the Reds, once with the Phillies, 75, 76, and 80. He was the 1973 National League MVP. He was the 1975 World Series MVP, the 1963 NL Rookie of the Year, a two-time Gold Glove Award winner in 69 and 70, the 1981 Silver Slugger Award winner. He won the Roberto Clemente Award in 1976. He was a three-time National League batting champion in 68, 69, and 73. The Cincinnati Reds retired his number 14 jersey. He was inducted into the Cincinnati Reds Hall of Fame and named to the Major League Baseball All-Century team. But of course, there is also the other side of that conversation. And that conversation was the betting scandal and the ultimate banishment for Pete Rose from Major League Baseball, which was handed down by Paul Giamatti back in 1989, as well as Commissioner of Baseball at the time, Pete Oberoff. With his lawyer present, Rose stated that he had bet on football, basketball, and horse racing, but vehemently denied the allegations of betting on baseball. But by that time, MLB owners had decided to give Giamatti ultimately the decision that Oberoff would eventually uphold. Sports Illustrated gave the public their first detailed report of the allegations that Rose had placed bets on baseball games back in March of 1989. In the cover story of the issue dated April 3rd, 1989, Paul Giamatti assumed office as the seventh commissioner of baseball on April 3rd. 3 days later, lawyer John Dowd was retained to investigate the charges against Rose. Dowd interviewed many of Rose's associates, including alleged bookmakers and bet runners, and delivered a summary of his findings to the commissioner in May of 89. And in it, he documented Rose's alleged gambling activities in 85 and 86 and compiled a day-to-day account of his alleged betting on baseball in 1987. The Dowd report documented alleged bets on 52 Reds games in 1987, cited Rose wagering a minimum of $10,000 a day, whereas others allegedly involved in the activities claimed that number was actually closer to $2,000 a day. Rose continued to deny the accusations against him and refused to appear alongside Giamatti because he felt like he was being done wrong at the time. But on August 24th of 1989, Rose voluntarily accepted a permanent ban on baseballs from baseball and a permanent placement on the ineligible list. He accepted that there was a factual reason for the ban, though he never fully clarified that. MLB agreed to make no formal finding with regard to the gambling allegations. According to baseball's rules, Rose could reapply or could apply for reinstatement in 1 year, but Giamatti said, quote, there is absolutely no deal for reinstatement. That is exactly what we did not agree to in terms of a fixed number of years. Rose was replaced as the Reds manager after acquiring a 412 and 373 record. At the time, although the Dowd report stated there was no evidence that Rose ever bet against the Reds, Dowd in his report stated that he believed Rose probably bet against the Reds while managing the team. And that, I think, was ultimately the reason that Pete Rose caught the suspension. So this is a it's a weird case study, especially in the direct aftermath of the passing of Pete Rose, because, you know, I've said for years that there is a very short list of topics that I do not bring up on this show and I do not let other people bring up on this show. It's not extensive. Number one on that list is, should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame? And the reason why is nobody's ever going to change their mind on that. Have you met anyone in history who can say, yeah, I changed my mind. I didn't used to think Rose should be in, but now I do. Or I used to think Rose should be in, now I don't. I can't say that that is the case. So with all of that being said, I think this is a situation that I look at and I go, Pete Rose, the player, was obviously, to anybody who has eyeballs and any working knowledge of baseball, obviously one of the greatest of all time.
Without a doubt, you know, and I'm from Ohio, so, and was a little kid when all this was going on. Not a baseball fan, but always was a Pete Rose fan, because you couldn't go anywhere in Columbus and not hear about him, even though he played in Cincinnati. Still, you know, played in Ohio, and I think he should be in the Hall.
There's a lot of people.
I think if you ask anybody in Ohio, they'll say that. But
oh,
of course,
for sure.
That makes sense.
It's. I think the conversation is as ugly as it feels, especially, like I said, within, you know, less than 12 hours after the announcement of his passing. The reality is this. Pete Rose is one of the greatest hitters, maybe the greatest hitter of all time. Certainly the greatest contact hitter of all time. One of the greatest hitters of all time. To this day, if I am a baseball coach, I am telling kids, get on YouTube and watch Pete Rose. I spent last night, as I laid in my bed with no power. Fortunately, the cell phone service is back. As I laid in bed last night, after the announcement of Pete Rose's passing, I went on YouTube and I watched a 1,000 Pete Rose highlights from his career, both with the Reds and the Phillies, and I came across a video of Pete Rose on MLB Network, and he was talking to the two hosts, and they said, when you got into a slump, which was rare, but how did you fix it? Pete Rose gave one of the greatest minute and a half long pieces of baseball video I've ever seen. He said, there are six things that I tell you to try and never change your swing. He said, you can step forward in the box, you can step back in the box, you can step left in the box, you can step right in the box, you can choke up and you can choke down, but don't ever change your swing. And the guy goes, why would you tell people not to change the swing? And he said, your swing got you to the big leagues. Why would you change your swing? Change the things around your swing. And I've never heard anybody put it that way before. You know what I mean? Like, I've never heard anybody lay it out that way. And I thought that's absolutely brilliant. That's why Pete Rose was one of, if not the greatest hitters of all time. But the guy also broke what is effectively rule number one of baseball. Don't bet on the game. Decker, who we've, I've been doing a show with Cody Decker, who's a former Major League Baseball player for a number of years. And Deck says, when you walk into a clubhouse as a minor leaguer on day number one, it is hammered into you. Do not bet on baseball. In fact, most managers will tell you, don't gamble at all. Don't even create a situation where it might look like you're gambling on baseball. It is drilled into your head from the time you walk into a clubhouse until the day that you retire. Do not bet on this game or you will be out of this game. So he broke one of the cardinal rules of baseball. And I don't know if it was drilled into your head in the 60s when Pete Rose was coming up or the 70s when Pete Rose was in his prime. But by the time he's a manager, he's got to know that's a rule. It's an ugly situation. So I think for me, I am going to spend the day reminiscing and ruminating on Pete Rose the player, because Pete Rose the player was a generational difference maker. Let's take a break. I want your thoughts on the passing of Pete Rose. We'll talk more about it later in the show. Rob Alonso and you, the Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate. We talked a little about Pete Rose, who passed away yesterday. Now we talk about the other legend that passed away yesterday after a battle with brain cancer, Dikembe Mutombo, the legendary, played for a lot of teams, center. One of the greatest defensive players of all time. A defensive player that I will go so far as to say, a young Rob Brown growing up learning the game of basketball was encouraged to and ultimately did model his game around a little bit. I always wanted to be a great defensive player. Now, part of that was because I was a crappy offensive player, so it was the only way I was ever getting my lanky ass on the floor.
I'm just trying to figure out how you made up for the height, because there's a little bit of a difference there.
6'3" in high school, I was tall. Now I'm just a dude, all right? But 6'3", I was a tall guy playing high school ball. So, I wanted to be a great defender. I wanted to take charges. I wanted to box out. And I wanted to make sure that if you got the ball in the paint and you scored, you were paying for it. Learned all that from Dikembe Mutombo. My Uncle Mike taught me basketball growing up. Big basketball guy. I've talked about him on the show before. My Uncle Mike was the dude that was like, watch this cat play defense. This is who you're going to be. There were two guys that he always said, these are the guys you want to be. Now, I recognize now at 40 that the reason that he always told me these are the guys you want to be is because I sucked on offense. And he's like, if this kid's going to learn to be a basketball player, it's going to have to be defensively and as a garbage player. And he was right. Which stings a little bit. But Dikembe Mutombo and Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon were the guys. Learn to play like them. And they finished their career, Olajuwon 1, Mutombo 2, in all-time blocks. Dikembe Mutombo, the player, was spectacular. Dikembe Mutombo, the player, was an all-time great. Dikembe Mutombo, the guy, is a legend, is an icon. Now, I was trying to think of what clip can I play from Dikembe Mutombo, of which there are countless. Which clip can I play to kind of bring out the personality of Dikembe Mutombo? Because while I think Pete Rose, the player, should be celebrated, Pete Rose, the guy, is a complicated character. Pete Rose, the guy, is a guy that there were some question marks that you had to ask. There were some things about Pete Rose that I don't mean to speak ill, but like, not necessarily a guy that, unless you're from Cincinnati, is a dude that a parent is going to tell their kid, be like that guy. not just as an athlete, not just as a player, but as a person. Be like that guy.
Unless your dad's a bookie.
Unless your dad's a bookie, then absolutely. No. If your dad's a bookie, he does not want you to be like Pete Rose. He wants you to be like him and find a guy who's like Pete Rose.
Okay.
Right?
Well, I mean, it's still Pete Rose adjacent.
Pete Rose adjacent. Dikembe Mutombo's a dude that you absolutely tell your kids, be like that guy. Be like that guy. I was curious yesterday. I can't find a negative story about Dikembe Mutombo anywhere. Now, I was like, what sound do I play? What clip do I roll to show why I love Dikembe Mutombo? And I found 50 that I was like, I don't know which one to use. And then I came across the one that I have to use. There's a infamous story out there about Dikembe Mutombo during his time as an NBA player. And the infamous story about Dikembe Mutombo is that during his prime, Mutombo would walk into clubs, into nightclubs, as an NBA player, tall, good-looking, very rich, vivacious. He would walk into clubs, he would get the attention of the club, and he would very, very vocally ask the club, who wants to sex Mutombo? And that story went around for years. Well, a couple of years back, Dikembe Mutombo was on a podcast with Dan Lebatard and Bomani Jones. And Lebatard was like, straight up, I'm going to ask him, is this story true? And it led to this exchange between Bomani Jones, Dan Lebatard, and Dikembe Mutombo. There is nothing more I love than Dikembe Mutombo hysterically laughing away the story that he used to walk in the nightclub, look at the ladies, and say, who wants to sex Mutombo?
Do you believe him? Because I don't. I believe he did that. Yes, I absolutely do.
I really want to. I'm with Bomani and Lebatard in this one. I really want to believe that Mutombo walked into... And here's the thing. If I go out with the fellas, Rob Brown's out with the boys. Rob Brown walks into a local watering establishment. If any of my guys had the audacity to look at a group of women and say, who wants to sex Ryan? Ryan's getting hit in the nose. Ryan's getting slapped across the face, all right?
Why do I believe there actually is a Ryan?
There's a Ryan. He's actually the nicest, most like the sweet guy in the group. There's no world he would ever say anything like that, even if it was locker room talk, all right? Now, there are abs. I don't think I have any now, but like through the various seasons of Rob Brown's life, there's absolutely been friends, fellas, dudes, bros in my life that absolutely would be the guy that would walk in and go, who wants to sex John?
Rob, there's a guy like that in every group. I had a guy like that in my group too. So, I mean, and he thought everyone would want to, and they never did. And but he still, you know, had that confidence.
Here's the thing: I've had dudes like that in my circles in years gone by for sure. Here's the thing: when Ryan or John or Tanner or Blaine does it,
hold on.
I knew one Blaine. I didn't know one Blaine in college.
And a Tanner.
And a Tanner. Yes,
they were in the same group.
Yes. Yes.
Nothing says
shocking. I know.
Nothing says preppy group like shocking, like Tanner and Blaine.
They weren't in my direct circle. They were circle adjacent. I'm going to use that word a lot today.
Okay. You're welcome.
If Blaine walks in the bar and goes, "Who wants to sex Blaine?" I want to punch Blaine. However, Dikembe Mutombo was such a dude that I feel like if I was in the bar, it doesn't matter that he's 7'2" and 280 pounds and could have sent me into low Earth orbit with an uppercut if he wanted to. But if I was in the bar and Dikembe Mutombo in his prime walked in and said, who wants to sex Mutombo? I would have been like, I feel like most of the women here want to sex Mutombo. I get it. The dude's not only a great basketball player, not only in his prime, young, handsome, and rich, but on top of that, he's awesome. Like, he's awesome.
But if your girl that you're with says yes, you're done, right?
Well, yeah, obviously, but that's...
I mean, forever, you're done.
That's anybody, right? Like, if the girl you're with goes, I'm going to sex Mutombo, yeah, she's not your girl anymore, all right? That's one thing. I am talking about when you go to the bar and there's a lovely group of single young ladies out there that are looking to mingle just a little bit. If it's one thing for Tanner or Blaine, Texter says Rob's circle sounds like a group of Pokemon gym leaders.
No, you're wrong. You're wrong. They sound like a bunch of rich dudes is what they sound. They're out there with daddy's money, riding up in the Mercedes. It's Blaine's Mercedes for sure. And, you know, it's got a little extra room in it for all the fellas. And then Blaine is leaving all the fellas without a ride if some girl says yes.
I am just going with this. The fact that Dikembe Mutombo.
I hope Blaine is listening, by the way.
Screw you, Blaine. You know what you did. The fact that Dikembe Mutombo had to go on the record and say, no, I did not walk into nightclubs and out loud say, who wants to sex Mutombo? And not only did he have to go on the record to dispute that story, every one of us is like, no, you did. You did. No, you did. You did. Dikembe, I don't believe you about what Dikembe used to do and didn't used to do. I believe that you absolutely rolled up into the nightclub and said, who wants to sex Mutombo? And in honor of that, tonight when the fiance or when the wife gets home, I'll be like, who wants to sex Rob? It's not going to happen. She's not going to say yes. But I feel like in honor of one of the greatest defensive basketball players of all time, and just one of the greatest dudes, one of the greatest. The NBA started the ambassador for global basketball, and Dikembe Mutombo was the unanimous consensus first person to fill that office. This man was selected by the NBA to be its representative to the entire globe. That's how good of a dude Dikembe Mutombo is. And yet, the story was he walked in the nightclubs and said, who wants to sex Mutombo? And none of us have a problem with it. None of us. None of us have an issue with it. We're all like, all right, that's kind of awesome. Do you know the aura that you have to be able to pull off a line like, who wants to sex me? And all the dudes are like, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. That's awesome. The vibe you have to roll in the nightclub and ask that question that way and use your own name as the tag on it and have dudes across America go,
There's only certain guys in the history of mankind who could probably pull that off.
Yeah. Like, legit, I want you to know, since I started this, I'm trying to think, who else is in that group? What other dudes can... If Brady walked into the club and won, who wants to sex Brady? Even I'd be like, Tom.
Bradley Cooper, I think, could pull that off, possibly.
I don't think so. I don't even think, and you know, I love Bradley Cooper. Like, when they make the story of Rob Brown, Bradley Cooper's going to play the role of Rob Brown, all right? Because we look so much alike. I love Bradley Cooper. I don't even think Bradley Cooper. If you were in a story tomorrow, you know who could do it? McConaughey.
Yeah.
If probably. McConaughey rolled in the bar and went, who wants to sex McConaughey? You'd be like, checks out. And you know, someone would want to sex McConaughey. And you'd be like, I get it. The guy's very handsome. And in a weird way that, like, if there was a dude in my circle just like Matthew McConaughey, I wouldn't want to be friends with him. He's too crunchy for me. Second time we're using that term today. Too crunchy. Except actual Matthew McConaughey, who I'm like, kind of want to roll through the Texas Outback, doing Hiawatha with Matthew McConaughey. It sounds awesome.
Is that like peyote or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't even know if that's the right word for it. I'm pretty sure it's not.
Okay.
It's the stuff that Aaron Rodgers does. The mushroom stuff.
Okay. All right.
Whatever it is. Point is, like, the list of dudes that can get away with who wants to sex my last name. It's like Mutombo, McConaughey, and Jack Black. That's it. Like, that's Jack Black's awesome enough. I would have said Dave Grohl up until like 2 weeks ago. He took himself off the list.
Well, probably for doing that exact thing, sort of. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. When she gets home at 5:30 today and opens the door, who wants to sex Brown? I'm going to guess the answer's no. We'll see. Who wants to sports flash Lonzo?
Wow. She's going to hold the finger up and go, no.
Not today. Wait.
And the laugh will definitely happen. The Atlanta Braves needed just one win out of two games against the Mets yesterday to punch a ticket to the MLB postseason. The Braves fell 8-7 in game one at Atlanta as Atlanta took a one-run lead into the ninth, but allowed a two-run home run to Francisco Lindor to give the Mets the win. In game two, Grant Holmes got the start on short notice and went for four innings with seven strikeouts while the Braves collected six hits and a 3-0 lead. Atlanta begins their playoff run tonight at 8:30 against the Padres in San Diego. Rob really needs to learn how to write shorter stories, no matter how much I edit. Tune in this Saturday at 12:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Citadel Bulldogs. It's Furman versus Citadel right here on your home for Paladins football, The Fan, Upstate.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.